morning. If you have not yet checked your bulletin to see who wrote our invocation, please do so. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Introit. That's the introit. This is the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You join in singing the song of worship, number 2020 in our black book. Will you please join me in the invocation? Let us bow our heads. God of life and love, in whom we place our faith and trust, we come today to worship in spirit and in truth, recognizing our shortcomings and our need for repentance and forgiveness. We gather as a part of your church, claiming the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We come because we share our love for you and for each other. Give us a special sense of your presence this day, and let this community of faith find new life and commitment to your purposes as we gather today. Help us to forgive each other when we are hurt or wronged. Help us to repent of our corporate shortcomings and grow as a body of believers who follow your ways and exemplify your kingdom. Bless this time together as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
This time, Jean Eckleberry has a presentation that she would like to make to our church. So I'll ask Jean to come.
Some of you know that I have a lot of brothers and sisters, and brothers and sisters challenge each other. My brother posted a picture on Facebook that, and said, "Hey, quilting sisters, will you make me one?" And we pretended we never saw it. But we made it. We actually made three. My brother's a pastor in West Virginia, so we made one for his church, and one for our family church, and this my church. I've been here since 1953. I want to show it to you, and I'm going to hang it over this railing if you want to look at it closer later. And next Sunday it will be hanging up here. And I want to thank you all and thank Reverend Allison for giving me this time. I think there's one person in the church, two people who borrowed the stand.
Thank you. And thank you for your service all these years to our church. We welcome you to our worship service this morning. There may be some of you who are guests. We want to especially welcome you, and we're glad you're here. You might take a moment to fill out a visitor's card. You'll find them in the pew rack in front of you, and you can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate later on in the worship service, and that'll help us to get to know you better. We do have some things going on in the life of the church that I want to talk about this morning. This afternoon, there is a mission outreach meeting at 2 p.m. And tonight, at 6:30, the youth group will meet for a Bible study and game night. We hope that if those things are appropriate to you, you will take the time to take part. Also, tomorrow night, there's a stepping up meal at 4:30, some of you have signed up to help prepare food for that or to help serve it. So this is just a reminder. You might check on the sign-up list if you have forgotten what you signed up for, so that you can make sure and help us out with the stepping up meal, which is tomorrow night. There's a couple of things coming up that I'm just going to mention. The All-Church Halloween Party, which is on October the 30th, and the Pink Piggy Party on November the 12th. You'll have more information later. But I did want to mention that next week we'll have a guest speaker, Dr. Ernest Jones, who is the regional executive minister for American Baptist Churches of Ohio, will be visiting with us next week, and we look forward to his sharing with us. He is just new on the job. He was elected and installed in the spring of this year. I think he started on January the 1st, but his installation was in March, if I'm not mistaken. So I hope that we'll have a chance to give him a warm welcome to Ohio. He's moving here from New Jersey, so it's a new place for him and his family. Our missions focus for the month of October is, as you know, the World Missions Offering. And we are asking that you prayerfully consider how much you might give to support American Baptist foreign missionaries around the world. Last week we talked about Jenny Pedzinski because we have the opportunity to not only support her work through United Giving and through the World Missions Offering, but we support her directly. And this week I would like to take just a minute to talk about another missionary couple that I'm sure you've heard of that we also have the opportunity to support directly. And I thought this would be a good time to talk about them. and that is Ivy and Emerson Wu. They serve as the directors of the Global Chinese Training Ministry. And I've been trying all week long to find out a little bit more about what that is. Some of the language that you'll notice on your bulletin insert is somewhat technical. But I think what it comes down to is this. They are a liaison between American Baptists and other groups with the church in China. And they provide the service of training church leaders, training ministers, to be able to serve in a place where Christianity is growing. They help run training centers. They provide curriculum, libraries. They help teach the teachers who teach in the training centers. And they also partner with people in mainland China. Seems like in the last year they moved to Hong Kong, but they were at the Macau Bible Institute for a long time. This is very exciting, I think, and important work. And we ask your prayers for them, that the people that teach in their training centers, the ones they give resources to, and the ones they help train, would be prepared and would be called and would be sent to their ministries. But also, that the people that they train, that the Lord would call people and would prepare their hearts to be able to do the ministry that they've been called to do, and also to pray for the institute itself, the Global Chinese Training Ministry, that it would have all its needs met, that it would have all the resources and all the people that it needs, and that the relationships that they have with one another would be encouraging and uplifting. We thank you for the support that you give. I thank you for the support that you give to these missionaries and to the others that serve American Baptists. And we'll keep talking about this as the month goes along. How about let's stand together and turn to number 63 in the red hymnals. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Thank you.
Our ushers, please come forward. Please join with me in prayer. Dear God, please accept our tithes and offerings as a reflection of our faith and the strength of our relationship with you. We give not of compulsion or duty, but freely and in love. May our gifts be used to accomplish your purposes in this place and extend a helping hand to those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
going to have a children's sermon. How are you? It's good to see you today. I've got something to give you. It's a sticker. It's really a name tag. But I don't have your name on it. What does it say?
N-G-U.
Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute what it means. But I'm not going to tell you right off at the beginning. I'm going to tell you a story first. It's a story that Jesus told about this woman who, she was having trouble, and she went to a judge. And in the Bible it says that the judge, well, let's put it this way. He thought he was too big for his britches. And he didn't think he needed to help this woman get justice. And so, guess what she did?
What?
She kept on pestering him. She just kept on and kept on and kept on until finally he said, you know, it's not because she's somebody, but it's just because she's wearing me out with all of her pestering that I think I'm going to go ahead and give her what she wants. And Jesus told that story as an example about how we should be when we ask God for things and when we pray. Because if this judge, who really wasn't a very good person, will eventually give somebody what they need and what they want if they keep asking, how much more will God, who loves us and wants to give us good things, give us what we need if we keep on praying and never give up? So, what do you think the N and the G and the U stand for? Never give up. There you go. Never give up praying and asking God to take care of you and give you good things. And you can wear this sticker throughout the worship service, and you can take it home, and it can be a reminder. Never give up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that we don't have to pester to ask you to give us the things we need to help take care of us, to make our lives good, to bring us joy. And we just pray that we would have that kind of attitude, that even when we feel discouraged, we would never give up asking. In your name we pray. Amen. Children's sermons are for adults, too. Are there prayer concerns that you would like to share with the congregation?
On this past Monday, October 10th, Marcy had a baby girl, 8 pounds, 2 ounces, 19 inches and 3/4, Claire Elise.
That's Marcy Cooper. Claire Elise. Is that right? Yay. It's good for us always to thank God and to pray for people who serve our country, especially those who are overseas during this time. And it's good for us always to pray for our country's leaders. And as this is an election year, it's good for us to pray that God would bring about His will in the election, even though sometimes it seems like it would be against our will for God to do His will. But these are the kind of things that God is good at. Shall we pray together? Lord, we are thankful that we can come to you in prayer, and that whatever is on our hearts, whether it is the joy of new birth or the beautiful sunshine and cool breeze of fall, or whether it is some hardship some concern, some anxiety that has entered into our life, that you hear us and you listen to us and that you want to give us salvation. You want to give us joy and peace, that you instill in us hope. We are also thankful that when we ourselves get in the way, when the attitude of our heart, when the things we think with our minds actually are a hindrance and keep you from giving us the good things you want us to give, that you are patient with us and that you work with us and you renew our minds and transform our hearts, and that you forgive us. These are the things that we pray for. We pray for ourselves. We also pray for our neighbors. We pray for our community. And we pray for our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. I invite you to hear this familiar story anew. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. May God add a reading to the hearing and blessing of his word. Our Sangha meditation is hymn number 469. "Fight the good fight with all thy might. Let us stand and sing."
Relationships are hard work. Relationships are hard work. We often hear this refrain in the context of marriage. And while it is true in marriage, the same truth can be applied to other relationships. Sometimes friendships can be hard work too. And I think sometimes work relationships can be hard. People of different backgrounds, different personality types, and different life experiences, all trying to get along together and sometimes succeeding, and sometimes, I suppose, not succeeding. And we think about relationships in terms of individuals, but we can also think about them in terms of groups trying to get along with each other. There are biblical examples of groups, and very often the groups that are mentioned in the Bible don't get along very well, indicating that it's hard work for them too. Jews and Gentiles, for instance, are often mentioned in the Bible. Think about in the book of Acts, the Aramaic-speaking Jewish Christians and the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians, and as if relationships aren't hard enough, it can even be harder when you don't speak the same language. In Sunday school today, we talked about Pharisees and Sadducees who didn't get along very well. In the Old Testament, I think about the Israelites and the Philistines, just to name a few. And if there was a chance that there could be healthy relationships, it was going to take effort. So it's really not all that big of a surprise that one of the ways in which the Bible presents a human being's relationship with God is as a struggle. That is, something that involves effort, hard work. The story that we have read today is familiar, and to people who've been to church all their lives, it's probably familiar enough that you know it, but it deserves a quick summary by way of reminder. Abraham had one son. His name was Isaac. And Isaac's name means laughter, which I always like to mention because it proves once and for all that God has a sense of humor. Isaac had two sons. They were twins, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau was the older brother, and that means that he was the heir to the estate. And the Bible tells us that he was also his father's favorite son, which is an interesting thing because I think most of us believe and we identify ourselves as being fair, and we do not think that parents should prefer one child over another. But in the Bible, they seem to do that all the time. Esau was Isaac's favorite. Jacob, who was not the favorite, the younger son, would also go on later in his life to give preferential treatment. And in that sense, they're not real good role models for parents. Jacob, as a matter of fact, isn't the best role model in the world for what it means to be a good human being. As a matter of fact, he was a bit of a scoundrel. At a time when he had caught Esau hungry, he convinced him to sell his birthright, his inheritance, for a bowl of soup. Means that Esau must have been very hungry. It also means that perhaps he was being foolish. But nonetheless, at a time when he was weak, he had a brother that would be sure to take advantage of his weakness. For some reason, the Bible doesn't indicate that a great big deal was made out of this. But they also had a tradition that is perhaps unfamiliar to us, where before the end of life, a father would give a blessing to his children. And these blessings were very powerful and very meaningful. And of course, each child would get a blessing, but it was meaningful to them that you received the blessing that was meant for you. And the story is that by stealth, Jacob sat in Esau's place and received the blessing of the older son. And by that way, he stole the blessing as well as the inheritance from Esau. And what we're told is that this did make Esau mad. It made him mad enough that he wanted to kill Jacob. So he had to leave. And he went and lived with his uncle for a while. And he stayed away for several years, probably decades. And both of them went about their lives. They married, and they had children, and they started making a fortune of sorts. And so finally, it came time for Jacob to come home. It came time for him to establish himself as the one who had inherited the estate of his father. And it raised the question, how would he be received? Was Esau still angry with him? Would they be able to make peace? Or would there be a war between the two brothers? Relationships take hard work, and these two had quite a bit of work to do. And that brings us to the story that we've read today. When Jacob had returned almost all the way, he had reached the Jordan River, and he was ready to enter into his homeland, where a meeting with Esau was inevitable. For some reason, he sent his whole family across the ford at Jabbok. And all that is a tributary. I don't even know how to say the word right, correctly. Jabbok. But it shows up on maps. You can see it there. He sent his family across, which means he sent them ahead, but he himself stayed behind. Maybe it was because he was nervous about the confrontation with Esau that was imminent. He had not treated his brother very well. And Esau had a right to be angry. Or maybe it was because Jacob himself was suffering from an inner turmoil. He was engaged in a struggle with himself, perhaps, as he examined his life, maybe felt a little guilty. Maybe he was realizing that his gain had been his brother's loss. One can't say for sure. Perhaps it was a number of things. But what the story tells us is that while he was behind by himself, he was attacked by a stranger, and they wrestled with each other all night long. Until finally, about daybreak, we were told that the stranger just touched him on the hip and crippled him, which kind of gives you the notion that the stranger could have beaten him at any time he wanted, but he waited until he was completely out of energy. And then comes the miracle, really. Because even in that state where he was crippled, when the time came for the stranger to leave, Jacob grabbed onto him, and he wouldn't let him go. And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Unlike the blessing that he had stolen from his brother, this time he could only beg and hope it would be given to him as a gift. The stranger blessed him there and gave him the name Israel, which is sometimes translated and very often interpreted to mean to struggle with God. And we are told that the reason why he was given this name is because that he had struggled with God and with men and had prevailed. Relationships are hard work. I suspect that when you are a scoundrel like Jacob, they're even harder work because you're continuously doing things to make them harder. But a relationship with God is the hardest of all. And one way to see it is that it is like a wrestling match, a struggle. And in some ways, if we are going to wrestle with God, if we are going to struggle with God, we have to go in knowing that we are destined to lose, that at some point we will be crippled, wounded, defeated. It's kind of interesting because we live in a time when we have such contention between world religions And there is this other world religion that we see in the news every day called Islam, which comes from the same part of the world as Christianity and Judaism does. And as a matter of fact, they consider this story to be sacred, a sacred part of their history too. And one of the pillars of Islam is this struggle. It's called jihad, which means struggle. Although some of them interpret the jihad to mean to fight a holy war against the infidels. This is, of course, us, and we live every day in a world that is affected by people who believe that way. They make the hard work of building a relationship with them a lot harder. And I think maybe sometimes we do things to make it harder too. But most Muslims say that jihad is best understood as a struggle like the one Jacob had that night with that stranger. And beyond that, a struggle for good against evil. A struggle for good against evil in the inner self. It seems to be part of what this stranger was saying Jacob had done. Nonetheless, this struggle is only one way of seeing our relationship with God. Sometimes we like to speak of God as a friend, or we like to speak of God as a father, or as a guide. But this text tells us that it's okay, at least some of the time, to see God as an enemy who seeks to change us and to grow us, to help us do the hard work of having relationships. And we have relationships in our own time that are also very difficult. The relationship between black and white, between the rich and the poor, between men and women. Sometimes those are kind of funny. We make jokes about those, about that one all the time. Democrats and Republicans, whatever division one wants to see, they're hard work. And sometimes it is tempting to just give up and believe that the hard work isn't going to get done and the relationships aren't going to work out. But before we find ourselves in personal relationships, or before we find ourselves in groups that are having relationships among themselves, we are also involved in an inner struggle. And that inner struggle is a struggle with God, who wrestles with us and exhausts us and then wounds us a little, but only a little, because his intent is not to destroy us, but to prepare us. In the battle waged, our demons are exorcised. Our lives are cleansed. Our minds are renewed. And our hearts are transformed. Until at last, we are ready to meet our neighbor. We are ready to love our enemy. What happened to Jacob is simply this. He grew up. Until that time, he had lived his life pretty much for himself. He had cheated his brother. He had lied to his father, and he had swindled his uncle. Fascinating stories. If you haven't read them in a while, you know where to find them. In Genesis. He would go on to give preferential treatment to one of his 12 sons over the others, and that would create a jealousy in them that would create severe dysfunction among them. Yet he is presented here as somebody who has struggled with God. And that's what his name means. The wrestling match at what came to be known as Peniel represents for us the doing of the hard work of having a relationship with God. On the one hand, we should know that it's should know better than to have a wrestling match with God, because how can you win that one? But on the other hand, it is just that struggle to which we are invited. That's part of what the Bible's message is about. That we are invited into a relationship which is gonna be hard work. And sometimes it's gonna be like a wrestling match. But it's the only way for us to grow up spiritually. It's the only way for us to become human beings the way God intends for us to be human beings. It's the only way to become less selfish, to set aside anger and fear. It is the only way to become compassionate and kind and generous. And it's the only way for us to come to love our neighbors, both the ones who we count as friends and the ones we count as enemies. But in the end, I think it's not a struggle at all. It turns out to be a more peaceful submission in the end, where we let go of our prejudices and our selfish desires, and we come out into the light, like taking off a veil through which we just couldn't see. So that it's not surprising, really, that the last image in this story is the image of the sunrise, the new day dawning, and Jacob heading away from that place to go meet his brother, even though he was walking with a limp. All of us are wounded a little, but we are not destroyed. What we are is prepared. Prepared for a new day. The sun has just risen. And the way the Bible presents it, the sun has risen mostly on the people who have not been afraid of the struggle. The struggle, the hard work of doing a relationship with God. And what happens to us on this new day is that instead of meeting each other the way Jacob and Esau met each other in the womb, or in their childhood, or in their young adulthood, they meet each other the way they met when Jacob returned home. And they wept. And they blessed each other. And they embraced each other. So that there was no war. They forgave one another. And that gives us something to think about as we live out our struggle with our neighbors and friends and our struggle with God. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would give us the ability to just walk away from the worship service that we've had today, like Jacob walked away from his wrestling match, into the light of a new day, that you would help us to think new thoughts and have new hope and to forgive anew and to seek forgiveness anew and to be strengthened and to be encouraged again. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Our song of dedication this morning is number 2243. We are all one in mission. I invite you to stand and sing a hymn of dedication this morning. We thank you, O Lord, for speaking to us through the words of these songs and this scripture, through the time we spent in Bible study. We pray that you would also leave this place with us and go with us on our journey, giving us all the things we need to serve you better and to be strengthened and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.